Committee, it's February 2nd, 2012, 1:05 p.m. We have with us today Senator Menard, Senator Joe Thomas, and Senator Huggins, and really appreciate you being here. We do have one bill on the agenda today. It's the Senate Bill 125, and I see Senator Kevin Myers here, and I'd ask you to come and put yourself on the record, and let's go ahead and have some discussion on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to invite my trusty new chief of staff, actually, Bob Pulowski. Mm-hmm. He goes by Captain Bob.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. thank you for hearing Senate Bill 125 today. Senate Bill 125 was created and crafted to protect and assist the consumer in finding competitive priced motor vehicles that are offered at competitive pricing clearly stated by the dealers. The issue was that the dealers were all advertising differently, and it was confusing the consumer. The consumer didn't know what was the true price of the vehicle. So this bill is truly a consumer protection bill. We're working with our constituents, we've worked with the auto dealers, and we've been working very closely with Ed Sniffen, who I believe is online, to testify as well, to try to find a balance here that meets everyone's needs and wishes. Senate Bill 125 updates Alaska Statute 45.25, commonly referred to as the Alaska Auto Dealers Practices Act, and it clarifies several provisions concerning the advertising of new and used vehicles. These revisions assist consumers in understanding auto comparison pricing and eliminates the ambiguities, as I mentioned, that are currently in our statutes, while at the same time assisting the dealers in following the law, because the dealers want to follow the law as well, of course. And it was kind of confusing and ambiguous. Senate Bill 125 was, as I mentioned, drafted with working closely with the Department of Law, again, to provide protection for the consumer in purchasing a motor vehicle and in fairness to the dealers themselves in when they price the vehicles. Additionally, this bill will take care of the issue of document fees, making this issue moot, which, again, is another one of those fees that you pay when you buy a car that's confusing. Sometimes people list them, sometimes they don't. I might just point out, too, to the committee that this bill has a zero fiscal note. It's not anticipated to have any fiscal impact on the Department of Law or on Department of Motor Vehicles. And Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to turn it over now to my chief of staff to kind of go briefly over the sectional analysis so that people have a clear understanding of what the bill actually does.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Would you please put yourself on record, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Bob Pulowski, Chief of Staff for Senator Meyer, and I'd like to give you a concise review of the sectional analysis that's accompanying and then be able to either expand on it based on the committee's wishes. Simply stated, sections 1 to 3 specifically deal with new car pricing and clarifies the manufacturers and dealers pricing and disclosures that are required, but also allows for the exclusion of government cost, the licensing fees, etc. Section 4 is a key element for the used cars, and it provides national sources such as the Blue Book, etc., for price comparisons. Section 5 provides guidance for the new and used car vehicles, or new and used vehicles advertised, to be accurately identified and described to the consumer, and any information provided can be verified. Section 6 simply states that the source and information of a used car has to be provided to the consumer, whether it is from a previous dealer or whether it's from a private seller. Section 7 and Section 8 clarify when a vehicle can be shown, and that any disclosures required are displayed conspicuously. And Section 9 to 11 deals with financing and the responsibilities of each party in the contracting and the agreement of the purchase. Section 12 Excuse me for 1 second.
It's only Senator Egan there. It's all right. Go ahead and go. Just for the record, then I'd recognize Senator Egan. Thank you very much for being here with us this afternoon.
Thank you,
Senator.
Mr. Chair. I was meeting with your boss.
I know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to continue, Section 12 simply clarifies what an motor vehicle service contract is, and then Section 13 states the applicability of the changes to the statutes and defines any terms of service not well defined in the previous statute. With that, I could go into more detail or answer questions.
Are there questions from members of the committee this afternoon? Yes, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly the statement that Senate Bill 125 will assist consumers in understanding auto comparison pricing and assist dealers in following state laws is a welcome statement. We appreciate that. I was just curious, the Monroney, if that's how it's pronounced, sticker, I never really paid much attention to what it was. Am I correct? At this point in time, it does list basically everything. You know, it has the manufacturer's suggested retail price, and then the ones I'm familiar with, I thought actually had what the dealer's tacking on, so you came up with. Is that going to remain basically the same, or at least have all of that information so that we're not eliminating anything where a sticker that's on the vehicle is going to somehow not have the basically other than the taxes and other licensing fees or whatever might be applicable?
Yes, Senator Thomas, through the chair. Yes, the Monroney sticker or the manufacturer's suggested retail price will have what the manufacturer has placed on it. After that, the listing additional information will be provided, much as you see now, that are the options that the dealer has placed on it. From that, in any discounts on the dealer's information or any rebates or other savings that are allowed will continue to apply. But the information you see today will still remain. Monroney is a federal requirement.
Sure. Okay. And thank you. And one other thing, if I may.
Yes. Go ahead, Senator.
And that's regarding Section 12 indicates in the sectional analysis, removes unnecessary and impractical obligations imposed on dealers relating to service contracts. What might be an example of that, just out of curiosity? What are we relieving them of?
Mr. Chairman, and perhaps Bob has an answer for you, but also we'll have testimony from the auditors themselves, and they might be able to give a little more detail. I don't know, do you have an example, Bob?
Senator Meyer, through the chair. No, I would not have a good example, and I would prefer to talk to you.
Okay, that's fine. Online. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions to Senator Menard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm appreciative of this bill because this is actually a bill that I did study back in Wasilla with Mr. DeWitt, so I'm quite familiar with it. And I guess this is more of a backup, Captain Bob, to the answer you gave Senator Thomas a minute ago. The fiscal note is saying that the bill allows for free merchandise with the purchase of the vehicle. And what kind of free merchandise are we talking about? Are those special things that the dealer wants to offer?
Senator Menard, through the chair, I could speculate on that off the top of my head, but I would really trust the auto dealers to provide you with this, what they use to perceive as free merchandise.
Okay, and then if I may... Mm-hmm.
If I may add on...
Senator Meyer, yes.
I think Ed Snippen's online too. And he can also clarify.
Yeah, he is, yes.
He can also clarify what is acceptable. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yes, go ahead, Senator Menard. Go ahead, Senator Menard.
Okay, so are there any instances of customers having to return a car because of the finance has not come through? And my question on that question was because, of course, now we all have these credit ratings and different things, and I understood from my conversation from Mr. DeWitt that people walk away from the car dealership, think everything's hunky-dory, they've gone on the computer, they qualify, et cetera, and then they find out that the deal has tanked. And so does this happen often?
Senator Menard, through the chair, I would not have the accurate information to say the frequency that happens. I could get it, but I would also encourage that question to be posed to the auto dealers.
Thank you. And I know just my final last comment on this bill. I know we have a nice letter from the Alaska Auto Dealers Association, and so I'm appreciative that they seem to all be on board and think this would be a good bill. Correct?
Thank you.
Senator Bernard, through the chair. Yes, they have written in support and we've had multiple meetings. So they walked through with the Attorney General. They discussed the section level analysis and verified their support.
Thank you,
Senator Huggins. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Meyer. Yeah.
Senator Bernard. Yeah, we've worked hard to try to find a delicate balance between the dealers themselves, the Department of Law, and of course, who we all work for, the consumer.
Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just back to Senator Menard's question. I mean, it says explicitly in Section 7, it says prohibits the sale of the vehicle until the dealer has all required paperwork in possession. Mm-hmm. So.
Any other questions for the sponsors this afternoon? Yes, Senator Menard, yes.
Uh-huh. So that, what Senator Huggins is bringing up, that would eliminate them actually taking the vehicle off the lot, home 3, 4, 5 days, and then having to bring it back, because this has been an issue.
Senator Menard, through the chair, and yes, Senator Huggins' point was, yes, they may show the vehicle, they may have the vehicle on the lot, pending, but they may not sell the vehicle until they have the title.
Senator Huggins?
Mr. Chairman, but on the other hand, this doesn't prohibit, if I'm buying the vehicle or Senator Menard's buying the vehicle, you could drive it home, you park it in your parking lot, you just can't sell it to them. You don't own it. Mm.
Senator Huggins, through the chair, I would default, not comfortable in providing you an accurate answer on that. I can do research, but I would also encourage that question to clarify.
Yes. Well, we have three people online that represent Alaska Auto Dealers Association and Attorney General's Office, so we'll get a chance to have them answer those questions for you, for us. Any other questions from members of the committee for the presenters? Well, you're welcome just to stay there. We don't have anybody else. We'll go off net right now. We'll go off net right now to Martinson from the Alaska Auto Dealers Association. Are you on, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Would you please identify yourself and for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Martin Martinson. I'm the current president of the Alaska Auto Dealers Association.
And we hope that you've taken note of some of the questions that were answered, maybe take an effort to, during your testimony, answer some of the questions that were answered by the two of the senators in the room. So if you would, we'd love to hear your testimony.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators, for allowing me the opportunity to testify. What Captain Bob already stated, we're really just trying to clean up some of the language in the current law. And by doing so, in layman's terms, I think, you know, we're just trying to clean up some of the gray area so that the dealers can operate within the law. There's always been some question of or interpretation of what the law states, and this can lead sometimes to litigation or, calls from Mr. Sniffen telling us, you know, we're not operating within the law. Now, we've worked very closely with Attorney General Ed Sniffen and trying to come up with the best solution, and I think the amendments in front of you do that very well. To answer some of the questions, Senator Menard, I believe, asked, you know, when can we sell a car if we have the paperwork? Meaning that law will not allow us to sell the car if we don't have title. And in many instances, there's some lag time when a customer trades in a car to us and we have to pay off the lien, and so we won't have title, and sometimes that can take weeks. And this will prevent us from selling the car to, you know, any consumer without title. I would, in my own business, I would never allow someone to take that car home because technically we are not the owners until we have title. But that's only my, you know, my business policy. There was another question, but if I'm not sure what it was regarding MSRP. MSRP is you know, that is strictly from the manufacturer. But to clarify, rebates or special incentives, whether it's interest rate, those are typically not stated on the MSRP or the Monroney sticker because those are subject to change at any time.
Mr. Martinson, we do have a question from Senator Menard who'd like to follow up on one of the questions she had earlier. Senator Menard?
No, I think you adequately answered that. It was on the free merchandise. That was something I wanted to be abreast of.
Sure, okay. Senator, through the chair, free merchandise, I guess an example, we, this past December, we had an offer when you purchase a car, we had also include snow tires and an auto start. Current law does not allow us to say when you buy a car, you get free snow tires and a free auto start. We cannot use the word free. And so this law would now allow us to use the word free. In the past, we have tried this, and we've talked to Mr. Sniffen, and he has, you know, advised us, you know what, guys, that's that gray area. You can't go there. So this will now allow us to actually market that we are giving you something for free, and that can be backed up.
Senator Menard?
So is it correct to say that the bells and whistles that we're now going to be able to use as free merchandise, can that be part of, I guess?
Senator, through the chair, yes, ma'am, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for, yes, Senator Thomas?
Yes, sir. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I had was regarding Section 12 of the sectional analysis, which you may not be looking at, but the statement that the bill removes unnecessary and impractical obligations imposed on dealers relating to service contracts. I was just curious as to what some of those items may be that are now removed as a barrier to you folks.
Senator, through the chair, I think that this is that's a very technical question, and I'd rather have Mr. Sniffen answer that question if possible.
That's certainly fine. Whoever can answer it. I don't want anybody guessing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Martinson or members of the committee? If not, let's go to Gary Sleeper, who's also with the Alaska Auto Dealers Association from Anchorage. Would you identify yourself for the record, please, and give us your testimony, Mr. Sleeper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gary Sleeper, appearing. I'm an attorney for the Alaska Automobile Dealers Association. If it pleases the chair, what I prefer to do is just defer to Mr. Sniffen to answer most of your questions, and then just stand by to assist in any way that I can after Mr. Sniffen has completed his testimony.
Very good. Thank you very much. Mr. Sniffen, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Ed Sniffen. I'm an Assistant Attorney General here in Anchorage, and I appreciate the opportunity to weigh in on this bill today.
Okay, let's go. Do you have some testimony, or would you like to go right to questions?
Let me give you, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, just a brief 30-second sort of support of this bill, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just wanted to start off by saying that we have worked with the senator and other sponsors of this bill on the House and Senate side to get this bill in a position where we are comfortable that it accomplishes some significant consumer protection and clarification. And at the same time, I think it does help the auto dealers by clarifying and streamlining some of these procedures. Those two things aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. You can have good things for both. And I think this bill does a lot of that. And so we we certainly have gone through different versions of this, and there are some things that we were not excited about, and we left them out of the bill, and the things that made it into this version of the bill are things I think will, at the end of the day, help consumers and be good for the auto industry. So happy to answer any questions that the committee has. And I can start by hopefully answering the last question by, I believe, Senator Egan. Dealing with Section 12 of the bill. And I don't have the sectional analysis in front of me, but I am looking at Section 12. And what Section 12 does, and I may have to punt this one back to Gary Sleeper for a more thorough explanation, but my understanding is there's some language in the bill that dealt with service contracts, and that if a motor vehicle dealer was presenting a service contract as an application, then that application had to contain certain things. It had to be marked as such and has to disclose different applicable rules for obtaining a final service contract. In talking with the auto dealers, it became apparent that that's just not how that transaction works. Service contracts are done in a different way, and that language made it a little more complicated for dealers to comply. So we have removed that. And essentially, the remaining language, we think, protects consumers sufficiently. It essentially requires motor vehicle dealers to have a service contract in writing, and that written document has to contain all of the essential provisions regarding the administration of the contract. And we couldn't think of anything else to add to that that would make it more clear. So I hope that answers that question, but if it does not, I'd be happy to follow up or have Mr. Sleeper answer that. And then in a follow-up, I think, to Senator Bernard's question about free merchandise, and I think Mr. Martinson answered that one very well. There are other things that may not be as significant as free tires or an auto start, things like free DVD players or maybe a free iPod or something that a dealer might want to give away with the vehicle. And our position in the past has been a very strict one. And that has been, look, you know, there is no free lunch. You're jacking up the price of the car to cover the cost of this free merchandise. And, you know, at the end of the day, the balance sheets have to come out. I mean, if they're going to buy all this free stuff, someone's paying for that. And it may be that they're just taking less of a profit on the car in order to move inventory. There are a number of reasons why dealers might want to incentivize consumers to come in and buy a car. And, you know, in today's society, you see businesses offer free merchandise with just about everything. I don't think you can go into a furniture store and buy, you know, a sofa without getting a free something. Every industry does it. And to single out the auto industry, I think at this, you know, point in our history, it just didn't make sense to us. So we thought we would allow them to do that in order to you know, accomplish some of their sales goals. And I just don't think consumers are misled by language that says come in and get free tires if you buy a car. I mean, they know they have to buy the car. So that's why we've decided to remove that restriction and allow dealers to do that. There's one other provision in this bill that's a fairly substantive provision. It's a new provision. And that, I believe, starts in Section 4. And it deals with the ability of used car dealers to price compare used car prices with, like, a Kelley Blue. And that's something that we've thought about for a long time. And I know auto dealers have been looking for a way to run ads that say, come in and buy this car. It's, you know, $19,999. That's $5,000 below Kelley Blue Book. And right now they cannot do that. We've included language that would allow them to do it as long as the comparison is to a nationally recognized publication service and they provide the consumer with, you know, copies of, you know, how they came up with the comparison price if the consumer requests it. So with that, I'll shut up and be happy to entertain any questions from the committee. And thank you again, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Senator Thomas. Did you want to follow up on the question that you had earlier, or did you get it answered adequately?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, they wore me out on that one, so I'll accept that explanation. But I do have a question on the section we're just talking about, and that one is regarding using nationally recognized valuation publications. And in the section F, it says, when advertising a price comparison for a used motor vehicle, the advertiser must identify the source of the reference price, and the motor vehicle dealer shall make this source available to a potential retail buyer on request. You know, there's so many differences in what options exist on vehicles. Is this in some way a requirement to have all of the options, substantial options, I guess, listed and available for that comparison, listed on the vehicle or with the paperwork for the particular vehicle that's for sale as compared to the vehicle that's in the nationally recognized valuation publications, Blue Book, or whatever that reference is intended to mean?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Thomas, excellent question. And the intent here is that whatever price they're comparing to, it has to be an apples to apples. So if the car they're selling has particular options on it, when they go to Kelley Blue Book or NADA or whatever service and they try to find the equivalent listed Blue Book price for that vehicle, the price has to be the price for a substantially or almost identically equipped vehicle. So when you're checking the boxes, when you go through Kelley Blue Book, it says, does this have aluminum wheels? Does this have a sunroof? Does this have a trailer package? That has to be, the same options that are on the car that it's being compared to. And if it's not, that would be a problem, and we would hear about it. And that would be a violation of our Unfair Trade Practice Act because it would be deceptive anyway. So we would definitely look for that. And if consumers get a copy of the Kelley Blue Book comparison, and they realize, hey, wait a minute, the price that you are showing me in Kelley Blue Book is for a car that has all these things on it, and this car doesn't, and we hear about that, we would talk to the dealer very sternly.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, from the last conversation, I want to let everybody know that I'm happy to be a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 125 from Senator Meyer. But I want to let you know that I did buy a new truck from a person in the audience, Mr. Allwine, and I didn't get anything for free. And, in fact, I received options I didn't even want, but I paid for them.
And
nothing
the
free.
Is?
Nothing so free. Was Section 12. Nothing free.
Any other questions for Mr. Sniffen? Any questions for Mr. Sleeper? Hearing none, we don't have any other questions. Senator Meyer, can you tell us if there's any opposition to this bill at all?
Mr. Chairman, we haven't, of course, this is the first committee hearing. We have not had any opposition. The other body is also hearing this bill, and it's been moving over there as well. So as of thus far, no, I've not heard of any opposition to the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Elwin, would you like to come up and defend yourself, or are you just here for answer questions?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd love to defend myself, but I think I'll defer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, I just wanted to make sure, anybody else in the audience that may want to testify on this bill? Okay, if not, and we'll close public testimony, and it's my intention as the chairman, I really don't want to hold this bill. I'd like to have it move out, and unless there's an opposition from a member of the committee, I'd just as soon move it today. So I'd like a motion, if I could.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Egan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 125 with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, then this bill is moved. Thank you very much, and we are adjourned. And if you just stayed to sign the book, I'd appreciate it.